Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, Ashley and I will bring you stories along with Kelly Jean Kelly and Brian Lynn. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, explosive devices were sent Wednesday to former President Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the New York offices of CNN Television. The devices appeared to target well-known members of the Democratic Party. The news comes as Americans get ready to vote in the upcoming midterm elections. President Donald Trump condemned the attempted bombings. Trump said, "Acts or threats of political violence have no place in the United States." He added, "We have to unify. We have to come together." The U.S. Secret Service said that the potential explosive devices were identified and removed before reaching Obama and Clinton. The device sent to CNN was addressed to John Brennan, a fierce critic of President Donald Trump. He served as director of the Central Intelligence Agency under Obama. The New York Police Department said explosives experts removed a pipe bomb from the CNN office. The device appeared to be similar to the one sent Monday to financier George Soros, a longtime supporter of the Democratic Party. In Florida, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is investigating an envelope at the office of Representative Deborah Wasserman Schultz. She was the former chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee. The envelope had Schultz's office as the return address and was first sent to Eric Holder with the wrong address. Holder served as Attorney General in the Obama administration. Schultz's address was also the return address on the envelope sent to Brennan. No injuries were reported in any of the incidents. FBI Director Christopher Wray confirmed that a total of 5 packages were sent to Soros, Obama, Clinton, Brennan, and Holder. He said in a statement, "This investigation is of the highest priority for the FBI. We have committed the full strength of the FBI's resources, and together with our partners on our joint terrorism task forces, we will continue to work to identify and arrest whoever is responsible for sending these packages."
American President Donald Trump has said many times in the past that he does not think climate change is real. In a recent television appearance, however, Trump seemed to agree, in part, with recent scientific and government reports. Something is changing, and it'll change back again, he said. he added. I don't know that it's man-made. Yet, climate scientists say Trump's position is wrong. They say human activities are responsible for about 90% of climate change. Most of those activities are connected to burning coal and natural gas for electricity, or burning gasoline and other fuel for transportation. Such activities release heat-trapping gases that are warming Earth. Scientists have been showing governments evidence of this for more than 20 years, said Princeton University climate scientist Michael Oppenheimer. He said, it cannot be disputed. Oppenheimer told the Associated Press, humans are causing most of the warming. One way scientists are able to know that humans are causing the Earth's temperature to rise is by measuring the planet's energy balance. In other words, they measure the energy that comes in and goes out, said Stanford University climate scientist Noah Diffenbaugh. These measurements show that, since the late 1800s, the average surface temperature of the planet has become about 1 degree Celsius warmer. Most of that warming has happened since the 1980s. Researchers with the U.S. Global Change Research Program found that natural causes, such as the sun and volcanoes, have had minor involvement in the temperature rise. The researchers said most of the temperature rise was the result of heat-trapping gases, air pollution, and changes in land use that release and absorb carbon. All of these energy sources are the result of human activities. The report concluded that humans had caused at least 93% of the changes scientists measured from 1951 to 2010. Climate scientist Michael Oppenheimer says another piece of evidence for man-made climate change is that the world has warmed in exactly the way physicists had predicted. Physicists who studied the effect of heat-trapping gases said the air about 10 kilometers above the Earth's surface would cool. And it has, Oppenheimer said. Satellite measurements since the 1980s show the lower atmosphere is becoming warmer, but the upper atmosphere is getting cooler. If the warming had come from changes in the sun's energy, the upper air would not have cooled. Climate change scientists also expected that heat-trapping gases would cause the North Pole and the South Pole to warm faster than the rest of the Earth. That has happened too, said Columbia University climate scientist Adam Sobel. The American space agency NASA reports that the ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica are severely decreasing. Scientists continue to document other major effects in the Earth's ecosystem as a result of climate change. The journal PLOS published the findings this month of scientists who studied insects in the rainforest of Puerto Rico. They found that insects and other creatures with external skeletons are declining at an alarming rate. At the same time, the populations of animals that eat these creatures, lizards, frogs, and birds, also have declined. The researchers note that temperatures in the forest have risen 2 degrees Celsius since the 1980s. They said, their study shows that climate warming is the driving force behind the collapse of the forest's food web. Do scientists think the Earth's climate could change back again, as the American president suggested? Science writer Seth Borenstein says, "It may be possible, but only if humans drastically and permanently cut back on activities that release heat-trapping gases." I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
This is What's Trending Today. A small piece of white paper sold at a convenience store in South Carolina is now worth more than $1.5 billion. Lottery officials in the southern state say a ticket that matched all six numbers of Tuesday's Mega Millions drawing was sold at the KC Mart shop in Simpsonville. The town has a population of about 18,000 people. The world may never know who the winner is, however. South Carolina is one of eight American states that does not make lottery winners publicly identify themselves. The South Carolina Education Lottery tweeted, "Our message to the $1.5 billion hashtag Mega Millions jackpot winner? Sign the back of the ticket, place the ticket in a safe location, speak with a trusted advisor, and call the lottery. Take a deep breath and enjoy the moment." The ticket is worth about $877.8 million if the winner chooses to accept a one-time payment. That is what most lottery winners do. The other choice is to collect the full amount in yearly payments over the next 29 years. Earlier estimates had said this week's Mega Millions game would be the largest lottery jackpot ever. However, the actual number ended up being just under a record set in 2016. Still, the jackpot was huge. In fact, it is 20% of South Carolina's yearly budget, and it is enough money for the winner to give more than $300 to each of South Carolina's 5 million people. And that's what's trending today.
Google says it is deeply involved in developing artificial intelligence, or AI, to help doctors identify and treat disease. The company previously announced successful tests of machine learning systems designed to assist doctors. In one case, Google reported AI had examined images to diagnose diabetic eye disease with equal accuracy to doctors. Other tests showed that machine learning can be used to study massive amounts of patient data to predict future medical events. Now the company has published two new studies showing a high level of success in identifying one of the deadliest forms of cancer. Google carried out tests with researchers from the Naval Medical Center, San Diego. Google reported the findings on its AI website, and results were also published in scientific journals. The tests involved machine learning methods to examine digitized images of body tissue samples for signs of metastatic breast cancer. Metastatic means cancer that has spread from its main area to other parts of the body. This kind of cancer is among the most difficult to identify and treat. Metastatic breast cancer is also one of the deadliest, causing an estimated 90% of all breast cancer deaths worldwide. In metastatic breast cancer patients, the cancer often travels to nearby lymph nodes. Usually, doctors examine lymph node tissue samples under a microscope to see whether cancer is present. It is important for doctors to identify metastatic cancer as quickly as possible to prevent further spreading. The process is also important to help make decisions about treatments. Google notes that previous studies have shown that up to 1/4 of metastatic lymph node classifications end up being changed after a second examination. In addition, studies show that small metastatic material can be missed up to 67% of the time when examinations happen under extreme time restrictions. Google says it created a mathematical algorithm that greatly improves this accuracy rate. The algorithm, called Lymph Node Assistant, is trained to find characteristics of tissue affected by metastatic cancer. When the system examined tissue images, it was able to differentiate between metastatic cancer and non-cancer 99% of the time, Google reported. In addition, the company said the Lymph Node Assistant was highly effective at finding the positions of the cancers. Some of these positions would be too small for doctors themselves to identify, Google added. The research also showed that the algorithm method can reduce the usual time needed to examine a sample by about 50%. The system was designed with extreme sensitivity to exhaustively examine every part of a tissue sample, the researchers wrote in their paper. But Google makes clear the AI-based system is not meant to replace the work of medical professionals. Instead, it is designed to reduce the number of false identifications and help doctors work faster and more effectively. The studies suggest that people and algorithms can work together effectively to perform better than either alone, Google said in a statement. The company says that clearly more AI research and experiments will be necessary to further progress in the fight against breast cancer. But it is hopeful that deep learning technologies and well-designed clinical tools can be continually developed to improve accuracy and availability for patients worldwide. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Warren Harding. He was the 29th President of the United States. Harding was very different from the 28th President, Woodrow Wilson. Wilson supported change. Harding promised a return to normalcy. Wilson took steps to protect American workers. Harding often worked to protect business owners. Wilson was slow in supporting voting rights for women and in accepting African American people as equal to whites. Harding supported women's suffrage and civil rights for African Americans. Yet both men were popular during their years in office. Today, however, historians usually think of Wilson as one of America's best presidents. But Harding is remembered as one of the worst. Warren Harding was the 8th president from the state of Ohio. His parents were both doctors. Harding spoke about having a happy childhood, growing up on a farm with his brothers and sisters. Some of his favorite early activities were performing in a band and working on his college newspaper. Later, Harding, along with two friends, bought a newspaper. It became successful for several reasons. Harding was kind to his employees and shared the company's profits with them. He also tried not to publish stories that criticized politicians or politics from any party. Finally, he married a woman who had an excellent head for business. Florence Kling Harding led the newspaper's circulation department. She also helped to direct her husband's political career. In time, Warren Harding became a state senator, a lieutenant governor of Ohio, and then a member of the U.S. Senate. He especially liked being a senator, and many of the other lawmakers liked him. One reason is because Harding rarely took a controversial position on any issue. Instead, he accepted most of the ideas of the Republican Party. He was also good-looking and had an excellent speaking voice. These qualities helped earn him the Republican presidential nomination in 1920. A few months later, he easily won the national election. President Harding took office shortly after World War I ended. He promised to make Americans feel calm again and also improve the nation's prosperity. Two of Harding's goals were to support business and to limit immigration. He succeeded on both issues. His administration reduced taxes for big businesses and wealthy people. It also increased tariffs, taxes on foreign imports. And the Harding administration put in place new rules on immigration. The rules made it easier for immigrants from Northern Europe to enter the country, but harder for immigrants from Russia, Eastern, and Central Europe. Harding also took steps to improve the effectiveness of the federal government. But his administration is remembered mostly for its problems. At the beginning of his term, Harding reportedly told friends that the job of being president was too much for him. He appeared to want to do well, and he worked hard, but he turned over most of the responsibility to his friends in the cabinet. A few were very able, but some were dishonest. They abused their positions to gain wealth for themselves and their families. One of the most famous examples of corruption during Harding's administration is known as the Teapot Dome scandal. The name Teapot Dome comes from a rock in the state of Wyoming. The rock looked like a teapot. Scientists correctly believed that oil could be found in the ground underneath it. At the time, the U.S. Navy depended on oil to fuel its ships. So the federal government claimed the land in case the Navy needed to use the oil in an emergency. But a cabinet official who was a friend of Harding took control of the land. He gave a private company permission to search for oil on it in exchange for a large amount of money. Some lawmakers became suspicious, so they opened an investigation. In time, lawyers proved the act of corruption. Harding's friend was the first person to be found guilty of a crime while serving as a cabinet official. But President Harding did not live to see his friend go to jail. The investigation was just beginning when Harding took a trip to the West Coast to campaign for his policies. Some say that Harding was also trying to escape the problems in his administration. He reportedly told one reporter that worrying about what his friends were doing kept him awake at nights. During the trip, Harding showed signs of not being in good health. Doctors thought he could have food poisoning or pneumonia. He was taken to a hotel in San Francisco, California. For a day, he appeared to be feeling better. He was sitting up in bed, and then suddenly his body shook and collapsed. He died instantly. Reports at the time differed on the cause of Harding's death. Some even said that his wife poisoned the president to protect him from being punished for the wrongdoing in his administration. But most historians think that he had long suffered from heart failure and was struck by a heart attack. He was 57. Millions of Americans mourned over Warren Harding's death. They stood beside railroad tracks as his body traveled from California back to Washington, D.C. The following year, Florence Harding also died. She and her husband are buried together under a grand memorial in their hometown in Ohio. But in the years after his death, Harding's public image worsened. More corruption scandals in his administration came to light, and some historians have criticized him for not having a clear idea about how he wanted to lead the country. In 1927, a woman published a book saying she had a long but secret relationship with Harding, both before and during his presidency. She also said he was the father of her daughter. Genetic testing has confirmed her claim. More than 30 years after her book was published, a lawyer discovered love letters from Harding to a different woman. They confirmed that he had a long romantic affair with the wife of one of his friends. Harding had also been married at the time. These reports, as well as the corruption during his administration, damaged Harding's public image. But he also seemed to know that he would not be remembered as one of the best occupants of the White House. Instead, he tried to be likable and modest. He called himself a man of limited talents who was not fit for the office of president.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.